Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. It's great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 8. And I'm titling this message, Now That We Are Saved, or Now That You Are Saved, What Happens Next? And so this message is for those of us mostly who are saved. If you're not, we're going to give you an opportunity to make a decision here later on in this message. But for those of you who are saved, you may wonder, why has God set you aside? Why has God sanctified you? That is to say, set you aside to do His work and to do His will here on this earth. You know, God could very easily, I suppose, if He wanted to, as soon as we're saved, He could just take us up to heaven, and that would be the end of our earthly walk. There would be no point in us continuing if the only point of our existence here on this earth was to come to a place of salvation, come to a knowledge of God, and God would say, well, that's sufficient, that's the end of the journey, I'll take that person out of their walk and off the face of the earth. But praise God for that. God does not do that. He lets us live our life. He gives us an opportunity to live our life. He gives us an opportunity, and there's a purpose for that. There's a reason for that. We have a purpose here that continues as long as our life continues. And when God says our life is over, it's over. On the last day that it is over, it doesn't take God by surprise. He is fully knowledgeable, fully in understanding, and He is omniscient. He sees the days even before we live them, and so nothing that we do takes God by surprise. It may take our friends and our family by surprise, but nothing that we do takes God by surprise. That isn't to say that He takes free will away from us. He does not. He gives us free will, but even with the free will that we exercise, that we exert, we still will never take God by surprise, because He sees the beginning, He sees the end, He sees it all. Time does not bind Him. He doesn't see things in linear time. He sees things through all eternity. And so we have a purpose and a destiny here on this earth, and we are called and we are obligated, and we are given the privilege to walk out that purpose and that destiny here on this earth after we come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul is talking to the Ephesians. These are baby Christians in the city of Ephesus in Asia. And he says to them in verse 8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so this is a very important passage of Scripture. There are very many important principles and precepts and statutes laid out here that give us an understanding of God's plan for our life, gives us an understanding so that we can know why we are saved, that we can know how to become saved, that we can know what to do after we're saved. It's all in a bundle here in these three verses. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." Well, beloved, are not any works that you can do that will ensure your salvation. You cannot be good enough. You are not good enough. The Bible says that we are as filthy rags, that we are unrighteous, and as filthy rags standing before a righteous God, a holy God. And some of you, some of us may be good people, and praise God for that. I hope you are a good people. I hope you're striving to live a righteous and a holy life. But beloved, we are as filthy rags before the Lord. The Lord sees through our exterior. He sees through the nice clothes that we have. He sees through the nice cars that we drive, the nice houses that we live in, and He sees through the heart, and He sees the corrupt nature of our heart. The heart, the Bible says, is deceitfully wicked, and God knows our hearts. He sees all the darkness in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our minds. And so it is by grace, and grace only, it is by the grace of God that we come to a place where we understand that we are in need of salvation, that our sins have separated us from God, that our unrighteousness, the darkness in our hearts, whether it is to lust, whether it is to envy, whether it is to steal, commit adultery, lie, murder, cheat, whatever it is that separates us from our Creator God, the only thing that can bring us back to that place of reconciliation with God is by His grace. Yes, we exert our will and we say, yes, Jesus, I want to know You, I want to serve You, I want to submit my life to Yours, and we confess our sins, though they may be small, though they may be great, though they may be unspeakable in some situations to other people. But I tell you that the grace of God is what allows our salvation. The grace of God is what paves the way for our salvation. And if it were not for His grace and His desire to forgive us and the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for our sin, we would not have salvation. And so Paul is making it clear here that it is by grace that we have been saved. It is a gift of God. It is not our righteousness. It is not our good looks, it is not our good behavior, it is not the donations that we make to the church or to the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts or whatever. It is by God's grace and His grace alone, and all we have to do is receive that gift of salvation. It is just a simple process of saying we receive His salvation, and then God says, you have been reconciled back to me. The laws and the commandments that I have for you are written on your heart and in your mind. And because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then you are sanctified, you are consecrated, and you are living a holy life and a righteous life through the grace of God, by the grace of God, and through the strength that the Holy Spirit gives you. Well, in verse 9, it's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You can't boast because you took communion. You can't boast because you were baptized. You cannot boast because you cooked a lot of good casseroles for the church dinners. You cannot boast in your salvation. All you can say is, praise God, thank you, Lord, for extending the free gift of salvation to me. That's all you can say. And you are thankful and grateful to God because you know the work of Jesus Christ on the cross is the work that paved the way for your salvation. And through His perfect blood that was shed for us, we are then entered into the book of life that is kept in heaven, that book of life that says you have made your confession and now you are saved and now you are ready to continue in your Christian walk. The salvation experience is just the beginning. You are ready to continue in your Christian walk, and here is what God has for you in your Christian walk. Verse 10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there it is, beloved. That is the, I guess you would call it, the doctrine of good works, that we are prepared for good work. We're not saved by our good works. That isn't what saves us. We are saved to do good works. So after you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Lord opens up your eyes to see the kingdom, to see the harvest field, to see everything that He has for you, to see what is your destiny, your calling. And if you don't know what is your destiny and what is your calling, I would suggest that you spend time with the Lord, pray and fast, ask the Lord to reveal to you what is your destiny and your calling here in this life. If you don't know what your purpose is, and that isn't to say that you have to quit your job today. No, that's not the issue here. You keep working, you keep supporting your family, you keep paying your bills. But in the meantime, if you're on a search for the Lord, He will reveal to you what it is that He wants you to do. What is your highest calling? It may be in the future to quit your job and go to the mission field. It may be in the future to quit your job and to start to minister in ways that He shows you. I don't know what He has for each and every one of you, but if you seek the Lord while He may be found, if you seek the Lord and you ask Him, Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you, for he who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door shall be opened to him. And our Heavenly Father gives us that which we desire. He gives us the desires of our heart that are within the kingdom of God. He gives us the desires of our heart so that we can go forth and do those good works that have been prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And beloved, I can tell you from personal testimony, when I started to lay aside the things that I wanted to do, the things that I desired to do, and asked the Lord, "Lord, what do you have for me?" God opened up the door for me then to preach in the prisons. God opened up the door for me then to start to go internationally, first to Mexico, then Central America, then to Africa. God will do the same for you. He is no respecter of persons. He didn't just single me out because I'm something special. He has the same for you. He will open doors for you that no man can shut. He will shut doors for you that no man can open. And so the Lord has good works for you to do, that you should walk in them. Well, the question then comes up, what hinders us from those good works if we know this is the will of God? We can read this in his word in the book of Ephesians here. We can read it and make sense to us. We say, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds logical. So what then hinders us from good works? Well, I'm going to look at a couple of things here that hinder us from good works and that keep us from fulfilling the destiny that God has for us. And beloved, I think you can relate to these. Everybody deals with these in their Christian walk. And so the first is fear, that we fear moving forward. We fear going into that which is unknown. We fear that which we're not familiar with, and it is just a matter of replacing that fear with faith. What are you afraid of in serving the Lord? What are you afraid of in moving forward, in walking in those good works that God has for you? Well, I'll have to remind you of the definition of faith from Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. Well, God always calls us into areas or into endeavors that we do not know the outcome before we get there. We cannot say with certainty this is going to happen and that is going to happen, but we don't know that in our secular life either. Do you know what's going to happen to you a month from now, or 6 months from now, or a year from now, or 5 years from now? You have to exert faith even in your secular life. You don't know what's going to happen in your future, every detail of every day. And so faith is the conviction, it is the certainty, the evidence of things not seen. And so we trust God that He has His best intention for us, that He has His best plan in mind for us. We trust God. When I went to Africa for the first time in 2010, I didn't know one single person in Africa. I had no real desire to go there. But before I left the airport, when I landed in Nairobi, even before I left the airport, I felt like I had four or five good friends that I had known all my life, good Christian brothers that met me at the airport, and they were so friendly with me, and they were so jovial and full of joy, and they were just born-again believers on the other side of the earth. And so they were brothers of mine from a different mother. They were brothers that I could count on for anything that happened to me, any need that I had in Africa. And it was just like I had known them my whole life. And so when God provides for you every step of the way, then that fear that you have is replaced by faith. You continue to step out for things and believe for things that you have not seen. You continue to step out and believe for things that God will provide. He will provide the money for you to go on a mission trip. He will provide the money for you to provide a children's home or whatever it is God is inspiring you to do. He will provide, and you have to believe, if it is within the kingdom of God, that He has the provision for you, that He has the protection for you, that He has the peace for you. And when you replace that fear with faith, then you start to build on that faith. And every time God then proposes a project to you, the Holy Spirit starts to speak to you about doing this or doing that, you say, yes, I can do that. By the power and the grace of God, I can do that. I'm not afraid. I can go forward. I can relate to what God has shown me. I can see what God has shown me. And you go forward with boldness and confidence. You ask the Lord to provide. You come boldly before the throne of grace and you ask the Lord, Lord, will you provide? This is your project. This is what you want me to do. And you have opened the door here for this purpose, for this reason, and I know you will provide. Well, 1 John 4:18, here's a very important scripture about fear and love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Let me say that again. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Beloved, when God gives you a revelation of a project, if God gives you a revelation of a good works to do, it nearly always involves moving the kingdom forward in the lives of those who don't know Him, or moving the kingdom forward in the lives of widows and orphans who need the help and the provision that you can provide for them. It always involves moving the kingdom forward in places where God sees weakness in the kingdom, where God sees deficiency in the kingdom. And if you love those people, if you love those people that God shows you and that God takes you to, if you love them with the love of God, you will have no fear. I remember one time going to Mexico with a group of people to build a house down there in Juarez. And the mission was just to go there for a week, build a house, come back home. And the lady, that one of the ladies that got on the bus with us, said she didn't think she could love those people because they were so dirty and they were so broken and their lives were so basic and, in a sense, backwards. Compared to what we live here in America, we have very, very privileged lives here in America. I'm not talking about white privilege. I'm talking about American privilege. We have so much, an abundance of material wealth here in America, and we have an abundance of everything that we need, provision here in America, food and clothing and shelter and good roads, cars, everything that we need in a material sense. We have it here in America. And she didn't think she could love these people because she felt like they were so dirty and untouchable and so poor in a material sense that it would be difficult for her to love them. And she confessed afterwards the fallacy of her thinking. She confessed that when she got there and started to mingle with those people, that she could not keep her hands off of them. She could not keep from hugging them and just the joy of being around them. The love of God came through her, and she realized then God's love for those people emanated from the cross. It emanated from the love that Jesus Christ has for every single person. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves every single person on the face of the earth, the unborn, the born, those that are aged, the widows, the orphans, the street children in Kenya who are sniffing glue and are totally out of the society. God loves every single person with an undying love. He loves them so much that the blood of Jesus, His very own Son, the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, is for those people. It is for every single person. No matter their condition, no matter their tribe, their ethnicity, the color of skin, the amount of money they have, the kind of house they live in, all of those things are external, extraneous. God loves every single person on the face of the earth. And when you start to understand that and you start to operate with that love in you and activate your life in a way that love then shows through to other people, then you start to understand why God send you places, why God calls you to go places, and He gives you the provision, He gives you the courage, He gives you the confidence, He gives you the boldness, and you can then accomplish those good works and walk in them as God so desires. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. God's desire is that you come to know His love and that you share that love with other people, that your love will be perfected. You can't just love some people and not love others. You can't just love certain ethnic people or certain tribal people, certain races of people and not love others. God wants you to love every single person, even your enemies, because that is the desire of God, and that is what Jesus showed us. Verse 19 in 1 John 4, we love because He first loved us. Verse 20, if anyone says he loves God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Well, beloved, the good works of God that He has for you, that He has for me, it all revolves around loving your brother. As I said before, I didn't know one single person in Africa when I went to Africa, but I knew God loved those people. He showed me in a dream. He wanted me to be preaching to the Africa people. He wanted me to share the good news. He even gave me the message, Revelation 22, which is a depiction or a description of new heaven and new earth, the new Jerusalem that has come down out of heaven. The old earth has passed away. The old heaven has passed away. The new heaven, the new Jerusalem, is then our abode, our resting place. And God's will is that you love every single person. Tell them about the good life that they can have, not only on this earth, but the good life that they can have for all eternity, the eternal life with Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world, beloved. There are people in Africa that have terrible skin ailments. There are people that have leprosy. There are people that are murderous and have hatred in their heart and anger in their heart, and they want to kill, steal, and destroy. But God loves them just as much as He loves the people here in America who, for the most part, are fairly peaceful. And so we know that God loves every single person, and that is the reason why we love our brother. It is because we have an understanding of that love that God has for us. If you cannot love your brother, how can you love God? Because you've seen your brother and you have not seen God. So there your faith has to kick in, that you believe God and you believe that He has love for you. Well, beloved, He loves every single person with that same love that He has for you. Well, I'm going to close with a passage of Scripture from 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. And this talks about the holy calling that God has upon our life. Therefore, we do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, this is Paul speaking, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Let me repeat that. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works or what we've done, what great things we've done, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God knew your capabilities. He knew your abilities. He knew your calling even before you were born. And He has called us with a holy calling. Beloved, if God has opened up a door for you to do something, to preach, to go on a mission trip, to share in Bible studies, to go into the prison and share in Bible studies, maybe all you can do is pray for people. That's sufficient if that's all you can do. Maybe God has called you to share your money. Maybe if you have money that you don't know what to do with, you can share that money with a missionary, with a church, with a mission organization. God has a plan for you. He has saved you, and He has called you with a holy calling. And so therefore, if you want to be fulfilled, if you want to be satisfied, if you want to be complete and sanctified, set aside to do the work of God, step forward, move forward, and fulfill that calling that He has for you. Well, I told you at the start of this message that I was going to give those of you who don't know Jesus an opportunity to make a decision. And so I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sins, confess your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you, get down on your knees and say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want you to be the Lord of my life, the Savior of my life. I want to confess my sins to you. I want to get right with you and be reconciled back to God. If you will do that today, God will be faithful and true, and He will set you aside. He will sanctify you. He will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Follow it up with immersion Christian baptism, and you are saved. You are set aside. You are called with a holy calling then to move forward and to walk in the works that God has for you. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd like to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a letter, let us know you are listening. If you have any questions or prayer requests, we would be happy to hear from you. PureProrie@Hotmail is the email, or you can drop us a line at Box 92. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week.